This is a production of Cornell University.
All right, so the time is now very late, 4:50 p.m., and we're calling the April 10th essay meeting to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Here.
Present.
Present.
Here.
Next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes. We have two different sets of minutes to approve. They were each set was sent to the assembly members earlier. Are there any motions at this time? There's been a motion to approve both sets of minutes. Is there any dissent to that? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. We're going to go just slightly out of order for open microphone just to give people a bit more time to sign in, because I saw that there were some people signing in on that. Big Red Bike, I know, is here, who's going to speak during open microphone. So I'll let you come up. Go ahead, Brian, if you want to make your announcement real quick. That works too.
My name is Brian. I'm a co-president of Big Red Bike.
Thank you so much for that. Okay, good one. Community member Weisbrot?
Help me get 15 minutes to present on the 22nd at the University of Assembly, and also
the burden of cost, burden the cost of living from tuition where financial aid is for you to defer. In a word, for realistic change, the city of Disco will take further cuts, making CCAP less useful and therefore reducing the amount of revenue we'll be able to generate in the future. Even debt, whose taxes are not under direct pressure, will be a risk of further cuts, making those free taxes less valuable. Also, roads are heavily subsidized by municipalities, non-drivers, so the concern about unfairly burdening street drivers is a rubbish argument. Word is bond. Administration made an agreement in 2005 with the Tom Student Activists. They are now guiding them that agreement. They are making up the
flat
institutional memory. Third argument. Conspicuity, counting down relations are pretty bad. Property taxes are increasing at an average of 3-4% a year, and the city budget is in trouble. Yet they maintain their dollar per rent commitment. Meanwhile, Pinnell contribution to dollar per rent is increased. Please work with me on this issue.
Great. Thank you. So V.P. Lukashevitz is actually on the executive board of the University Assembly. The University Assembly, just so the rest of you know, is currently hearing a resolution, or if the resolution is open for public comment right now, the topic at question is addressing the TCAT deficit. The proposal as it stands is to remove the free first-year bus pass, which applies to all first-year students, so not just freshmen, but also transfers and first-year graduate students. So that was on the table. The link, you all should have received the SA news, monthly newsletter. The link to that public comment resolution is in that email. So I would say if you have any additional comments, I'd suggest you do that. And Max will contact you to help you get on the UA's agenda. Juliana, where'd you? Oh, moving on to announcements and reports before we go back to open mic while the list is still going. Multicultural Organization Meeting Update, Representative Ali Khan.
Yeah, hi. Minority Representative Elias Rajan and I will be meeting with the different multicultural umbrella organizations over the next few weeks to just have an open-ended conversation about the state of the multicultural community and their organizations and how we can help as minority reps and student companies representatives in general. So we'd like to invite any student companies representatives that want to come out to this meeting. Next week we'll be meeting Task 2 most probably and LAL. So definitely send me an email if you'd like to come. Thanks.
Fantastic. Next is the SADC update, VP Tony.
So it's nice to see so many people came out for my Student Assembly Diversity Affairs Coalition update.
Yesterday, Wednesday morning, we had a SADC meeting. Matt Henderson came and spoke about the possibilities for using financial aid for boarding fees to pay for students' study abroad travel expenses. Expenses to get travel visas and also deposits on academic programs such as Cornell and Washington. We then reviewed Yamini and Matt's resolution about adding mental health information to course syllabi. And then we also discussed the Open Book program and its progress so far. And I concluded with a discussion about ways of using faculty royalties and also student donations to augment current library textbook reserves for students who can't afford to purchase textbooks.
Sounds like you're busy. Next, Appropriations Committee update, Dee Block.
Yeah, so for one, since the room's not full because of filing funding, we met this week. Got Appendix E, which is fantastic. Basically, what's going on with Appendix E right now is we're mostly done with the individual groups. We're now looking at broader topics of Appendix E that apply to all organizations, things like attendance, accounting structure, co-sponsorships, accounting for co-sponsorships, things like that. If you have any thoughts on that, we're more than welcome to hear. Also, the conversations with Alana are continuing to go on. There has been some controversy as far as Alana's allocation to the umbrella organizations, and it's certainly something we're going to sit down with many of you, but it seems that the numbers that we were presented in December in their final appeal, they're now thinking about allocating less to the umbrella organization, which not surprisingly is creating a bit of a debate between the umbrella and WANA. So I'm definitely coming to keep up on your radar.
Thank you for that. And if anybody here is a member of a violence funding organization or is in charge of a violence funding organization, or you are pondering changing your constitution, please touch base with VC Block before you proceed any further, so we don't have to go. So you don't have to go through the approval process twice. All right. And FARC update, Representative Henderson.
Yes, the Financial Review Committee will be meeting tomorrow at 3:30 in the Financial Aid Office. They all will have reps from Gannett talking about some of the changes to Medicaid and student health insurance plans for New York State residents. Also, we'll have staff from special programs to continue the discussion that Noah talked about financial barriers for study abroad. So we welcome everyone.
Thank you. And finally, we're going to do a dining committee update. Representative Dempsey.
Thank you. So we have our last committee meeting of the semester. So the first meeting was in addition, a vegan dining app was also developed recently, and that's also available to the display, and that will show ladies on campus if you have a guided instruction. Finally, you can see the discussion of adding instructional videos to the dining website. We will set up some steps on how to buy a vegan, which will be used after that, and how to navigate the app.
Great. Fantastic. Goodness, you guys have been busy. All right, great. You probably didn't hear me earlier, but is the SGA from Ithaca College in here? If you are, could you raise? Yeah. Did you want to come to the? I'm sorry, I couldn't get to you earlier. So we are welcoming three of the members of Ithaca College's Student Government Association here to just exchanging information, trading practices here today. So what a day to come. If you just want to introduce yourself really quickly, just so we know who you are, and we'll be touching base with you after the meeting also. Absolutely. We're always happy to exchange information. Maybe we'll go on a field trip over there. Coming soon. But thanks for coming in. Again, we'll be staying afterwards just to talk to you about whatever you want to talk about. For sure. Great. All right. Now, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you guys hear me in the back now? Sorry. Yes? No? I guess I'll be extremely loud. Okay, so now we're going to move back to open microphone. We are going to go first. I'm going to do the two lists that are here just because they were taken from both sides of the aisle here. First up is Christian Brickhouse, if you want to make your way to the front. Before we begin, I do want to preface open mic. You can sit down, or you can stand, or stand up if you want. That's fine. Whatever works for everybody. I just want to preface this by making sure everybody understands what open microphone is. As you've just seen, that the Bigger Advice and even the SGA came before us. The purpose of open mic is to discuss items that are not currently listed on our agenda. It is a brief time to introduce a topic of some sort, and then we will try to direct you to the correct representative or to a process that actually helps you get started on your initiative. So I'm capping speaking time for that, as I did with the other two, at 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Right, and you can yield to the resolution if you like. Does that make sense? Oh, you can give up your speaking time for this and speak on the actual resolution when we get to that point. Does that make sense? Say one more time. As in, I'm just gonna change it from whoever said they want. Like, for instance, if you wrote open mic on here and you say I yield my time, I want to speak on the actual resolution, then I'm gonna change that and say resolution as opposed to open mic. Does that make sense? Yeah. I was actually gonna describe that entire process in extent, but I guess I'll do it now. So all parties who were here, I'm sorry, I mean, make it sense. So for all parties who, you were sent this email before, I hope you shared it. Assembly members also got it, but I will read the parts that are relevant. The SAA's meetings are governed by Robert's Rules of Order. These are reflected in our governing documents. At today's meeting, as with all resolutions slated for new business, the sponsors will be allotted time to present their resolution. For this introduction, the sponsors will be given 5 minutes to present. After that period has expired, the floor will be open for SA members and community members to ask questions and make comments that are not argumentative in nature. This means that people may clarify the content or a particular part of the resolution, ask about action items listed in the resolve clauses, clarify next steps, processes, or procedures, ask about or clarify desired outcomes, ask questions of the SA sponsors and their rationale, or ask general questions. Please be advised, again, that questions and comments may not be argumentative in nature. This is only an introduction of the resolution. This process is consistent for all items designated as new business. Speakers will be given 45 seconds to ask their questions or make their comments. The time is short because this is not debate or general discussion. Sponsors will be given up to 1 minute and 30 seconds to respond. This time is longer because sponsors' answers often require explanation and they will be responding to multiple questions asked at once. So let me pause there for a second. The sponsors will not be responding immediately after each person. Does that make sense? So that's why their time is a bit longer. And I just left off somewhere. The chair will not be recognizing any motions to extend speaking time for anyone. Please be advised that the chair maintains the authority to adjust speaking time. So for at this point, currently we have slated 45 minutes to hear our endowment. If we don't take up all that time, for example, or we don't take up the 20 minutes on the FARC thing, that means that we will have additional time left in the meeting to address Resolution 72 as it stands on the docket now. I will adjust speaking time according to that. So the sponsors might get a bit longer to actually do their presentation, which might limit a few questions, actually. And the same goes for back and forth, just so everybody's clear. So out of respect to the participatory governance process and the obligation of the various assemblies to provide the forum for the discussion of issues and concerns to the various populations at Cornell, the chair will not be recognizing any motions until the introduction has concluded and the opportunity for questions and comments has expired. This is to ensure that the assembly members have the opportunity to better understand the content before them and the various sides represented in the community have the opportunity to seek any clarification needed. Does that make sense to everyone so far? Thumbs up? Good time. All right, so that's essentially just the gist of how this is going to work today. So for those of you who wish to speak for open microphone, you are capped at 2 minutes to speak for open microphone. You may not speak on anything that is currently listed on our agenda. Make sense? All right. So now, back to the first speaker, Christian Brickhouse. You have class of 2017, just for Brian. You have 2 minutes.
Hi everyone, my name is Christian and I am a resident of Wizard Residential College and I'm here to talk about an issue of prestige. The student assembly is a tax resolution to create a student program to say that all the students have the right to see and be heard. And originally it's devoted to furthering and promoting the creative form art. One creative form art is art of oration. And as such, Wizard is holding what is essentially open microphone called the Wizard Soapbox on April 20th, where if you email me at ETB77, you are allotted 15 minutes to speak on any topic you wish. As a celebration of free assembly and civil discourse, I think that a lot of the people in the room today would be very interested in something like that. So email me if you would like more information and stand up for your right to be
free to assemble.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Can you repeat the date and time one more time? Did we get it right?
The date is Sunday, April 20th at 10 a.m. and it will go on until we have
the topic. Okay. Got it? Perfect. All right. Additionally, and this actually has nothing to do with what you just said, I just totally forgot to mention it. just so everybody understands, out of respect for everyone here, I understand that what's on the agenda is a bit contentious, but if we all could please do our best to observe decorum and to remain, I don't want to say the word polite, but polite, in a sense, you can respectfully disagree, but please do not attack anybody personally. Please do not attack anyone's character. Please do not just try to refrain from any inflammatory language that attacks a person. Like, we want to discuss the content, let's discuss the content, but let's refrain from attacking each other. Okay, we're all in this together at the end of the day. All right, next up on the speaker's list is Rachel Needham. Did I say your name wrong? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Did I make that?
Hi, my name is Rachel Needham, and I'm a senior in Iowa. During my time at Cornell, I devoted to life students of this assembly to represent the interests of me and other Cornell students. I vote based on whether I take an individual representing me and act in a way that benefits the Cornell student market. It is concerning to me that the FAA considers speaking on a stance on a political issue that is divisive not only on Cornell campus, but also around the world. I would like to quote an op-ed written by President David Gordon a few years ago. Taking one side on a controversial topic may have a chilling message to those who hold the opposing views, particularly if schools have diverse at Cornell. One statement, a principle, or position will most often not represent consensus, let alone the unanimous position of the thousands of students from varying religious, economic, racial, political, demographic, and international backgrounds.
Rachel, I'm going to ask that you kind of, if there's a portion where you're not referring to the resolution itself, just to wrong
things. No.
Next person on our speakers list then is Annalisa Chassel, class of 2014.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys, can we just limit the topic just so we can keep it going?
If you're going to
refer to the resolution, then you can speak during the resolution portion. Does that make sense? Yeah, just to be fair.
Okay, sorry.
No problem. It's fine. Thanks, though. So we'll take it down. So we'll move on to the next. We're going to take about...
The next person on our speaker's list for open microphone is Sam Dornberg, class of 2015.
Sam, I'm sorry. We got ladies and gentlemen, and everyone, sorry, everyone, not me, support your gender binary, but everyone, again, I get why everybody's here for the most part, but if you want to speak on that particular issue, let's save that for when we get to the resolution. Does that make sense? Because it's gonna get a bit too hazy and hairy for everybody to decipher for all if the main topic that we're gonna talk about is Israeli-Palestinian relations. Does that make sense? You can ask questions specifically about the resolution when we get to the resolution.
Does that make sense? And you can make comments.
And you can make comments about the resolution when we get to the resolution. Right. I said that earlier in the beginning, but I'll restate it again. New business is merely an introduction. It is reserved just for questions and comments that are not argumentative in nature. That's what new business is for. It is not debate. Business of the day is the subject, it's the topic that we are focused on as an assembly for that day, and that is when it is open debate and open discussion. That's when the assembly members are going back and forth, that's when the sponsors are kind of going back and forth, that's when the community members chime in and go through all of that. That's what that forum and that venue is for. In this venue right here, right now, It's not necessarily about hearing every single side. It's simply about getting everybody acquainted with what is on the agenda. Does that make sense? I'm sorry if I wasn't as clear as I meant to be earlier. Thank you for pointing that out. So, specific, yeah. Thank you.
Economic collaboration.
I really don't like cutting people off. I really don't. But can we save this for the actual resolution portion? Got it. Guys, I just try to make it simple for everyone. If you can, I don't mean to feel like I'm cutting people off. But. All right, can we go to the next person? This is Greg and the final two people. Oh, sorry. Never mind.
So there are a lot of people here who wrote down that they would like to speak during open microphone, and we would just please ask you if you would like to speak on anything related to Resolution 72 in content or in theory related to Resolution 72, that you please respond when I call your name and say that you would like to speak during Resolution 72 so that we can move on to this meeting. Thank you very much. The next person on our speakers list is Daniel Marshall. Thank you. The next person on our speakers list is Jacob Bliss.
Guys, come on, clapping. Can we not, everybody?
Thank you. And the last person on our speakers list for open microphone is Ezra Newman, class of 2016. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to speak during open microphone? I think open microphone is now closed.
Great. All right. Different?
Okay.
I'm a legislator.
I'm a senior in college
department.
Life,
actually, for my
sure.
So, can you talk about it? Sure. So, you can't talk about that. That is what you got to say. So, I'm currently a civil, let's say, civil leadership.
Comment on that UA resolution, try to get as much undergraduate input on that thing as possible. So since you're all here, please, please, please write these comments on it because they actually will be, they're distributed to all UA members. And this assembly does not vote on it. That's the university assembly. All right, great. So now that open microphone is closed, we're going to go into business of the day, resolution 68, financial aid review committee membership division sponsor, please get this. You have 2 minutes to be introduced.
Okay, so I'm going to give a quick summary of the couple hundred people who worked with last week. This is the Spark membership change for the financial aid committee. Currently, the committee has very few undergraduates in college essay and 5 undergraduates. And the goal of this resolution is to change that membership to between 5 and 10 students. I know the Spark compared to a lot of other committees, it's 5 people compared to James and Corporation Committee. 15. So we're going to have quite a small size, but I think maybe that we can add more people and have more discourse without making it too inefficient at any time. Also, if we make a change like this, it would make it possible for people to be staff on the committee for only the second semester, say when we have new members applying or when we recruit people at strength and work class. One comment I got last week was from Representative Bonatti about whether this was inclusive for international students, since it says institutionalized financial aid as one of the requirements for committee members. I spoke with Reggie Ryan in the financial aid office, and she said that aid to international students through ISSO, international students and scholars office would count under that definition. So I think that would make it more inclusive and we'll be able to bring in international students or also people who request grants and institutional public students there. And so really my main point is just this committee is unnecessarily restrictive currently, and I think we should do our part to change that.
Okay. So at this point we're gonna open up the speakers list. First up on the speakers list is Vicky Block.
Outstanding. So I have one kind of two questions. The first one is the inclusion of two professors. Can you just kind of explain the rationale? I know that already exists in the charter, but why exactly do we have two professors who may not have any interaction with financial aid? Why do you take them on? And second, just a clarifying question. I know you spoke with Representative Bonatti about international aid. If you're receiving financial aid through a non-university source, something like if you have an ROTC scholarship, would that not count as far as institutional financial aid?
Yeah, so the first question about the faculty members, over the past couple of years, we've never had faculty members on the committee, even though it did say there was a requirement of two faculty members. So the way we got in was up to so that we're not in violation of the charter in terms of that staffing. Just reasoning behind having faculty be involved, I think, for things like the Student Public Affairs Grant, faculty is an important source for students to reach out to know that it doesn't exist. So I think having those two voting members on makes sense for conflict and natural. Would you be the second vote?
I guess the second question I had was, if someone's receiving financial aid through a private source, but is also in some ways used to cover their expenses, so whether you, if you have maybe a paid scholarship or if you're going through ROTC, people who would certainly, many times needed the money but didn't go through Cornell to get it, would they be eligible to serve on the committee?
So I guess that's a tricky question. I mean, the main thing that comes to mind for institutionalized sources would be Cornell specific aid, federal development aid, and aid through ISSO, which also falls under Cornell aid. So I think it's depending on the interpretation of whether ROTC aid would fall under that. I think it would, and I think student employment and things like those through the financial aid office would also fall under it. So I think anything like student employment, which is kind of related to ROTC, would fall under that. It's all an interpretation, but I think.
Next on three of this is Representative Vasco.
Thank you. Is there any turnover at the among the four-fifths of students who are receiving students? How do you reveal that?
So I think currently I'm only thinking about on the application process, there isn't any question that asks students to identify, and there isn't any situation where students would have to identify a community or anything like that. So I think in terms of people being confidential with that, it's not really a problem, and it's something that we've had over the last several years.
Just in terms of that, the financial aid office, who's very involved in this, can look and see if that four-fifths is receiving this. And then also, sometimes in the application, students will say their experience is one of the reasons why they're interested in the committee. So it's completely up to them if they want to say it there or not. And then the financial aid office is very confidential about looking into that information.
Great. Next on the speaker, this is Representative Maletti. If there's been a call for question, it's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, since this is a change, this is a change to our bylaws, we are doing a roll call vote. I'm sorry, and Sarah is going to give just a quick briefing for you all.
Proposed Resolution 68 is an amendment of the bylaws that will require a two-thirds vote of the SA members present.
Ready? Go for it.
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Batista?
Yes.
Bandara?
Yes.
Lau?
Yes.
Benatti?
Step down.
Chen? Drucker?
Yes.
Genesky?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Isinger?
Yes.
Menes?
Yes.
Blue?
Yes.
Ikevic?
Yes.
Lutzik?
Not here.
Mahal? Maletti?
Yes.
Kavenko?
Yes.
Kalvik?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Kalski?
Yes.
Vasco?
Yes.
Dow?
Yes.
22-0.
By a vote of 22-0, the resolution passes. Next on the agenda is Resolution 71, addressing the student activity fee endowment.
Because addressing the student activity fee endowment fund is an act of internal policy, it will require a majority vote of SA members present to pass.
Sponsor has 2 minutes to reintroduce. You can thank Gina in the office of the assistant.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. It is not apparent that there is a strong support for the student assembly in the as far as procedure goes, on a more serious note, this is the old resolution from last year. So, procedurally, I would just like to see us vote this down today at some point, because you may remember from last year, we have the resolution, so we have to look at this resolution again to begin with. So, I think as far as the innovation fund goes, I don't think that there's much pressing support for that anymore. What we're looking to do now is really the infrastructure side of the problem. I'm glad that someone enormous amount of research in terms of what the other schools and how we use them on. But the basic idea would be to use our endowment and pull out the amount every year that allows us to sustain fund. So that the student body can fix projects on campus, make projects on campus that aren't necessarily administrative priorities. We can talk about a number of examples of this, whether it be ILS and lab, whether it be bike tracks, whether it be free funds, pleasant libraries. These are things that the actual administration needs and wants to spend money on, but are things that we can do now to improve the campus in ways that we simply wouldn't get done in the past.
Yeah, sure. So I think that the conversation that we were having appropriations to be announced is that was a small capex project in for not last year. Looking around University of America, one university that I like to do, they have something called Fix My Campus. And something that they've done there is they added new systems in gym, better routers in locations that didn't have good internet, bus stop signage, a lot of sound system, and recycling units. The way they did this is, they gathered suggestions and worked with, administrators, which is going to be needed for students, and also student organizations that are, have to be involved in that type of school. Something I would like to highlight is that they get 20-25 suggestions per week. And I think that shows an enormous amount of support for student government that students are actually participating in this process and letting the student government entity know what they think needs to be fixed. And I think that's something that we can try to achieve as well.
Great.
And they have a
That's fine. Great. You only have 2 minutes to reintroduce. Please take a second. All right. Next, so we're going to open up for a general discussion now in space. First on the speaker's list is Rep. Zach.
Thank you. I'm just interested to know how much money is actually going to be put off by the fund. If you look at the sustainable budget, just a little bit concerned about what impact that we currently have to be able to produce enough money that would be able to do something successfully.
So the amount that's proposed right now is 1.974%, and that's almost a random number. Ramia last year, VP Finance last year, spent a lot of time looking at the average growth rate of the fund, and basically calculated out what was the Excel rate, very complicated. Basically looking at what percentage could we pull out yearly, and conservatively, to make a difference on campus to fill out the fund. Any assault at worst for a lot of funding growth. So that the idea is that only 1.974%, that amount should increase yearly on average. So generally we're looking right now, I can pull the specific numbers, but because we didn't pull out money last year, we're looking at somewhere between $25,000 to $30,000 in the first year. This is implemented next year. And I think that site might go still a fairly sizable amount of money. Certainly we're not going to be building. But for the kind of projects we're looking at, $30,000 is a good amount of money. And the other thing that we're looking at doing is allowing for this to be pledged as part of the project. So if we put in, let's say, $20,000, the administration puts in $20,000 already a little bit larger projects. That 1.974% is the thing I would like to talk today about is should there be some sort of relief valve, should we be able to go over that amount? Personally, I'm not convinced that allowing that is good, only because it allows for the principal to be taken out. And by mandating that you only pull that 1.974%, it guarantees that the fund should release
for some of your units, but you don't see your $500 for the project, you're fighting the precious $500 you already have, you shouldn't be able to just access the $500 to secure a nominal amount of security.
That's fine. Okay. We'll get to more. Next is Rep. Talbot.
Thank you for the resolution. Obviously, I would love a boombox system and noise system that would be really more than that in the IMR schools that are there all the time. My question is in regards to Section 7, permitted application, Part 3. Is the project or initiative that the initial start of funding towards would become eligible for other sources of funding on campus to do these simulations and applications that are permitted? My question is, what about organizations on campus that don't have funding sources that they can use outside of IMR, or any of this money goes to those organizations if they provide an application and make it work for investing?
Just to clarify, the language that you have in front of you is the resolution that you must vote on. So this is the innovation fund. I probably could have included the infrastructure fund. It's my bad. But basically, the proposed idea that APPS Fund is speaking about, it wouldn't really be for student organizations, or at least for a lot of student organizations. Student groups that are willing to support on infrastructure projects, so like for example, like CUSD, they say we want to build something to improve the building of campus. Certainly, we wouldn't try to fund that project through them. But in general, we're looking at, I think there's the general thing walking on campus that I would like to look at this, or I would like to look at that. That's really what we're looking at. We're not sure if we're looking at engagement. Not just all those, and some of the other things we discussed. How can we include those information from the students as much as possible? So that not only are we soliciting ideas from them, but that implementation of the designing of the project, whether it be the actual building of the project, is something we need to do.
Go ahead. You have time.
How often is there a place where it says how often you're looking at applications and how you're going to do that?
Yeah, so I think looking at it now, there have been a number of proposals. I mean, you have an idea of what I'd like to hear. What I'm thinking is right now, so we're talking about the way biometry works, so half the committee of the first semester pull as many applications as possible, reach out to figure out what we can do, and then that second semester actually implement the project. Another thing is maybe something where, like, I don't just look at it monthly, but we have many applications, we can just look at them every month as a valuable application, and that may allow the committee to start working more. So, good, and certainly an interesting debate, but I think the general idea is by the start of the second semester, we should be working on projects that we approve. And the approval process is going to be determined in the
Next up, is there any point of information? Can you speak into the mic just a little bit, please? Essentially, so last year, the resolution that you all have in front of you was brought before last year's assembly. If you read the final clause in that resolution, it states that even when it passed that assembly, it has to be seen by this assembly, this new sitting assembly, and go through that process again, just to ensure that it was thoroughly vetted and clarified. So what DB Block is suggesting to you all is that since the questions last time and the discussion last time seemed to be more so focused on an idea that kind of a variant of this, a hybrid model of capital expenditure and an innovation fund of sorts, he's suggesting that we resolve what we have in front of us by striking it down and just voting on it, and then he will be, through via APCOM, proposing an alternative resolution. Does that make sense to everybody? Great. Was there anybody in the community who wanted to speak on this resolution this time? I know that's what you all came here for. Okay. Next is VP Tulsi.
So I want to preface this by saying that you support this resolution, and I do think this is the best use of the assembly endowment. That said, and I expressed this word in the start, I want to make sure that this
as accessible and also as publicized as possible to the entire student body. My worry was that if the student assembly were to create innovation fund or an infrastructure fund, that it would be mostly used by student leaders, by people who are already involved in the student assembly, rather than the student body at large, simply because those people who knew about it and those people who had were used to doing projects like this. So I would be interested in one, seeing if we could possibly add some sort of amendment to it where we would add a public relations task into it, or at least some sort of public relations requirement to ensure that this is publicized as possible so that every student has equal access.
So I think we agree. I think that's the only way we can find it. It's kind of a public and looking at the that's how they make this a process. And this can be done through a variety of different ways, through social media, and like I said before, do get 20 to 25 suggestions per week. Another thing I'd like to mention is that a way that we can make sure that the whole campus, we have a large campus, a way that we can make sure that the whole campus is represented is to having members of all the colleges on this committee. So we get different viewpoints, and now we're working on the IOS program.
Just to clarify, before I let you speak, just to clarify again, the infrastructure, whatever you just call the infrastructure fund, that tentatively titled that VP Block Insider and Rep. Alicana is speaking about, is not what's in front of you. So when you say you're supporting the resolution, or that we need to know exactly you're supporting.
Support the idea.
You support the idea that he's pushing and not this. Okay, got it. That's what we just wanted to clarify. Go ahead.
And this is part of having an outreach committee or something like that. And I think you can always go around by seeing the structure of organizations that you know all this money. I think inherently this is pretty much like the other that has to always be PLRD at home, things like that. But it definitely means that looking to success of other programs, the schools hadn't become a fund for those who were already not in the fund that's giving away to be very public. What do you wish to have on campus, or what do you wish to differ on campus? And now we're trying to be empowering SA to actually have money in the fund to actually get things done. And I think it's a pretty exciting new part of the assembly. What's the question?
Sorry.
It wouldn't matter anyway. There's been a call to question. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we are going to do what is this? Internal policy? We have to do a roll call vote, sorry.
Just to clarify, we need to
vote.
Well, we know your stance. Okay.
No.
Madari.
No.
Block.
That's out of the room, so it should be 23. Am I crazy?
Yeah. No, you're not.
23.
23.
Rep Dallas, that's out of the room. Sorry. Perfect. By a vote of 0 to 20, 23 to 0, the resolution failed. That is so unfortunate for everybody. you usually don't hear that happen. So now we're going to move on to new business. In this session, this is Resolution 72, Resolution urging Cornell University to divest from companies profiting from Israeli occupation and human rights violations. Sponsors, hit the table again.
I move to the table. Second.
Before you. Hold on before you're thing. Let her get out her space, please. The introduction.
All right. This is the introduction. The resolution urging Cornell University to divest from Israel is a offensive body resolution. It will require a majority vote of the SA members present to pass. Because it is a offensive body resolution, the community is entitled to two collective votes. Both community votes will be allocated to whichever side has a collective majority. However, because this is new business, we may not vote on it today. This is just for discussion, comments, and questions. Nothing may be argumentative in nature, in opposition, or in favor of this resolution. Is that clear?
All right. There's been a motion to table. It has been seconded. There has been dissent. Would you like to explain your dissent? 10 seconds.
We should definitely be able to come up here and
That being said, we are going to vote to vote. That makes sense to everybody? Okay. So we are voting about whether or not to... We're just voting to table. Oops, sorry. We're getting too happy with the voting. We're just voting to table. Sorry. Table indefinitely. To table indefinitely. We're voting to do that. Oh, okay. So to table, as in what the motion is? To table a resolution indefinitely means that once we table it today, it is tabled until the assembly decides to bring it up again, essentially. Does that make sense?
Point of information?
Yeah.
Can you also tell us what a yes or no means?
Okay, so voting yes in favor of VV Block's motion is voting yes, you want to table the resolution indefinitely. Voting no is saying that you don't want to table the resolution indefinitely. Does that make sense? Now, actually, as I'm sitting here speaking and explaining this to you, I'm remembering exactly what I just said in the email, where I did say to all of you that I would not entertain any of these motions until after they give their introduction. So I get the sentiment right now, but out of respect for the process that we've all discussed and fairness, we're going to let the sponsors introduce their resolution. After they finish their introduction at the brief period that we have outlined already, the whole 10 minutes, you are free to make your motion sit.
I move to overturn the decision of the chair.
There's been a motion to overrule the decision of the chair. I am there. Well, it's been seconded, thank you. And there is dissent to that. For 10 seconds, you have 10 seconds to explain your dissent.
I don't know why we're going to do this indefinitely. I know that there are a lot of holidays coming up next week, so instead of listening to it next week, I think that we should motion for the table
time.
To the week after.
That's time. So, with both sides in mind, the motion on the table is to overturn the decision of the chair, to not recognize the motion to table. So if you vote, everybody's like, what the hell is happening? That's in the minutes now. So if you vote yes, you are voting in favor of VV Block's motion to overturn my decision. If you vote no, you are saying my decision stands. No, because I said I'm not recognizing the motion. Then I have to recognize the motion, and then we'll go back and do what we just did, essentially. Does that make sense?
Here it is. What portion of the assembly is required to return the
Right. So we sent that out to everybody here, just so you know. Margaret.
This would require a majority vote.
A simple majority of those here. All right. There was another question. No, unfortunately not. But I think we might have just gleaned what you just said. But we do not allow that. So we're explaining yes and no one more time to the motion that's on the table. I need everybody to pay attention, assembly members. So side conversations will stop it. The motion on the table is to overturn my decision as the chair to not recognize the motions that I outlined to you in the email, to not recognize the motion until they finish doing their introduction. So if you vote yes in favor of what's on the table, you're voting to overturn my decision. If you vote no, you are voting to keep my decision as it stands and the sponsors will consider. Does that make sense? That makes sense. So that being said, we are going to do a placard vote so you can simply cycle count easily. All those in favor of overturning the decision of the chair, please raise your placard. All those opposed to overturning the decision of the chair. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Are you voting or no? There's no? Yes? Okay. All those who abstain from the vote. By a vote of 14-10-0, the decision of the chair is overturned. We are recognizing the motion to table indefinitely. So, that motion is now recognized. It's been seconded. Is there dissent? We know that. It's been dissent. So, we are actually going to have to vote on tabling indefinitely. So now, if you vote yes, you are voting to table this resolution indefinitely, which is until the assembly decides to bring it back up, or voting to bring it back up. Yes. Point of information. That's exactly what that means. Alright, so questions? That is exactly the question. Say it one more time. Thank you. That means it's I believe it's in our when we table something it requires a majority vote. So somebody could motion to bring it up again, then it would require a majority vote to bring it back up.
Point of information.
Yeah.
So if it's not on the agenda today, can we just have open microphone to still have dialogue about the issue?
We could.
Right.
We could. Well, hold on before you make. One more question. What do you mean the resolution? Why the resolution itself was brought? We typically don't do that, but if you want to table it indefinitely, if you want to top 10 seconds, out of fairness, 10 seconds.
Briefly, and then we should probably vote at some point.
Yeah.
I think that this is a political issue that should not be debated from the assembly. I think it's very Student Assembly 2006 where we were debating, is the Iraq war good? Are indeed, are these kinds of things that are not good?
Yeah. You already explained your dissent. I understand the sentiments in the audience. As I tried to explain meeting procedures in all emails, we are bound to fall back on our processes as they stand. This is what the shared governance process is for. Now, an assembly member up here has just said, if we table this indefinitely, are we allowed to move to make this meeting open, just an open discussion about this topic in general, just to have a dialogue? Hold on, everybody. Hold on. Just for the sake of having a dialogue in this space. That's typically not what we do, but given the circumstances that you all are here, clearly there's been a lot of information given. We do want to make sure that we are providing some sort of space for you all to have this conversation. So, now we're going to go back to the vote if there are no more questions. Now the vote, again, yes or no to table indefinitely. If you're voting yes, you're saying yes, table indefinitely. If you're voting no, you're saying no, don't table it indefinitely. Is that clear? Required, as you stated, simple majority of those present. Placard vote. All those in favor of tabling the resolution 72 indefinitely, please raise your placards now. All those opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 100, 101, 102, 103, 104, 105, 106, 107, 108, 109, 110, 111, 112, 113, 114, 115, 116, 117, 118, 119, 120, 121, 122, 123, 124, 125, 126, all those who abstain from the vote. All those who abstain from the vote, please raise your hand. I can't. But the voting is not, the vote totals are not adding up. If somebody did not vote, then I can't count. Does it add up? It doesn't. The vote. Thank you. All right. Everyone, I'm going to have to ask you to leave the room if you're going to yell, because I still have to conduct the vote so we get this. Right. On the record. All those. Thank you. All those. I'm going to do this one more time so I have the numbers right. All those who are in favor of tabling indefinitely, raise your placards. Keep them up so I can count. Don't move. 1, 2, 3. All those who are opposed to tabling indefinitely. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All those who abstain from the vote. Just that has that. By a vote of 15-8-1, majority vote, the resolution is tabled indefinitely. Thank you. Everyone, I'm going to have to ask you, there's a question of privilege on the floor.
I second the motion.
There's a question of privilege on the floor. It's been seconded. If the event manager is present, if an event manager is present, could you assure the member out of the way so we avoid confrontation? Ladies and gentlemen, and all those in the room, I would ask if you please stop to applause so we can hear what we're saying. We need to hear what each other is saying. We can't hear over each other. Thank you. At this point, we have extinguished all items on our agenda for today. Tensions are still high. Did you want to make
a motion?
There's been a motion to move back to open microphone. It has been seconded. Is there any dissent? Yes. We will let you speak first. Is there any dissent? Hold on. I can't hear. Point of information. Speak into the mic because I cannot hear you.
I'm just wondering what is the use of having a microphone on the room of
A lot of the room is still here, and the motion was made to have an open microphone. Since tensions are still high, I'm still going to allow that motion to carry through. Does that make sense? Another point of information.
The rationale used by Vice President Block for tabling this indefinitely was that this is not an issue that we, there's nothing normal here. So why is that here opening up for an open microphone when our, if you kind of counteracted our exact rationale?
In one of the rare instances where I'm going to actually levy an opinion formally on behalf of this, well, for myself, I'm going to say the reason I'm entertaining that motion and doing that is because now a resolution is not in front of us and we're not voting on an issue, but we are obligated as an assembly to hear things, to hear matters that are of interest or concern to the undergraduate student population here at Cornell. If you remember a couple weeks ago, someone's coming from to talk about In Bloom. Whatever that program was, came in here and spoke about it. Not something we actually handled, and I let him know that later on, but we did entertain him. We want to have a dialogue here about it. So that's what this is for. Point of information. If it's not a point of information right now, there's a motion on the table, and it's been seconded. There's been no dissent, so we're going to vote to. Am I going to ask for unanimous consent to turn this into an open microphone, since there was no dissent? Do we have unanimous consent to turn this into an open microphone? Seeing no dissent, by unanimous consent, this is going to be an open microphone session. Right. First on the speaker list, I'm going to allow Representative Vasco to go forward, and then I'm actually going to turn back to the community before I get to Assembly Representatives. Calm down. Because we have a list here. Okay? So I will have your name on here, and we'll continue the list. So, I'm going to allow you. Yeah.
Should I go with another?
Please go. And VP Batista is also going to go out and get your names. If you did not sign before, you sign this one. Otherwise, we have your names up here. Okay? So I'm going to cut you off. I'll I'll give you 2 minutes, Phil.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to cut this piece that I have short for the opening, because I think you all find it brilliant. The process of resolution 72, the resolution is a way to advocate for peace in the Middle East. We do not see this resolution as a human possibility. In the past days, we have seen our community become more divided and falling into more strife and turning into shield more than ever before. This was not our example. In fact, we want to help to be an example of how two sides can come together peacefully and work for a resolution that will advocate for peace in an area halfway around the world. After talking yesterday evening and this morning in the side hatch and below, I believe that we, meaning all members of the Cornell community, can come together in solidarity and work for a resolution that advocates for peace in the Middle East. I will work tirelessly to bring together all interested parties who want to work for peace in the Middle East. I am calling for your help. SIPAC and SJP have already agreed to come to the table to begin talking about resolution. If your organization or if you personally are interested in contributing, please reach out to me. My then ID is for everyone who lives in Anderson, Nancy, as the Frank Theodore, number 4. That's Cornell HQ, please meet me. NSB4. Please email me, and I'll be happy to sit down with you and talk about moving forward.
Up top, please be careful.
With closing, let us make peace both here in Israel and in Palestine. Thank you.
Great. All right. So I'm gonna ask for the applause so we can keep it going. So first on the speaker list for the community members.
The first speaker on the list would be Michael Mint, class of 2017. He left. That means the next person on the speaker's list would be Sam Dornberg. Nope. Okay. Then the next person would be Annalisa Castle.
We haven't actually gotten to a person yet.
Is Annalisa Castle still in the room? She left. Ruth Bear. I'm really sorry, I'm going to butcher your name. Lubaba Chowherdy. Ezra Newman. Mario Martone. Adam Schlessel. Daniel Marshall.
We're not debating at all. You can ask questions. The point is to have a dialogue. Go back to open mic format. We're going back to open mic format. Does that make sense? We're not changing anything.
I'm going to continue with our list of speakers from the audience until it's exhausted. Daniel Marshall. What? Okay, Daniel Marshall is not here.
To clarify, we have two lists from both sides of the aisle. I'm not sure how everybody arranged themselves, but there were two lists selected. We're just alternating across the list to make sure that it was fair. We don't know exactly who represents what and who's sitting where. So this is why we're going down the list. But when we get to a person who wants to speak, you're free to speak.
And if your name is not on either of these lists currently, you can talk to our Vice President of Outreach, VP Batista, and she will collect your name so that it can be on this list. Okay? Claire Blumenthal.
Behind closed doors and we're trying to
I say member at this point first, let's see, because this is Rep, not Rep Basil, sorry, is VP Block. No, we know, we're alternating, sorry. Yeah. Don't worry, we're coming back.
We'll get to you.
I just wanted to quickly read a letter from a past FA member, which I hope will clarify part of my rationale behind tabling indefinitely. This is by Josh Ross, class 2003. I'm concerned that the Student Assembly loses influence and credibility when it focuses on controversial political issues. I served on the Student Assembly during the ramp-up to the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Unsurprisingly, my colleagues and I introduced a number of resolutions against Afghanistan and Iraq during that time. We debated them forcefully and attracted some attention in the Daily Sun. However, most of the non-political students on campus, i.e. the overwhelming majority of students, were not sure why the Student Assembly was focused on those issues and viewed the exercise as wasteful. The Student Assembly does its best work when it is focused on Cornell-specific issues over which it has direct influence, like setting the student activities and advocating for students more generally. Cornell students recognize that the Student Assembly plays a role in that area, but not national politics. As leader of the Cornell Democrats, that was a big part of my college experience, I sometimes made the Student Assembly more political than it should have been. In retrospect, I think that was a mistake. I feel very strongly that the reason why these issues should not be brought up in resolution form is that we do not speak for the majority of students on these issues. You are not elected based on your position on Israel. You're not elected on your position based on the war in Iraq. These sorts of issues are not, this is not the proper venue for them. And I think that the reason why we bring up the open mic is certainly you should be hearing these issues and hearing how they affect students. But to come out and say that we as the Student Assembly believe or the student body supports this is incorrect, because there's just no way that we reach that many people. And I think that, you know, I'm a senior, I'm graduating, you guys are going to be the leaders of the Assembly in the future, but you will be a much more effective Assembly if you focus on issues in which we have actual influence. If we're working, whether it's things that increase parking on campus, working on housing, working on dining halls, that's where we make our best effort, not getting involved in these debates where we don't have a place to say. And I think that if you look at President Sorkin's column today, where he explicitly said that his role as president, similar to ours, is not to speak for the entire campus, but is simply to work on issues that are related to it specifically, I think we should also be taking that viewpoint. So in the future, I hope we continue to focus on Cornell issues, the ones where we can make a difference.
Next on our speaker list is Aaron Troy. Aaron Malenbaum. Ilan Kaplan. Andrew Clout. Daniel Jablanski. Jordana Gilman.
Next on the speaker list is Representative Ali Khan.
Hi, guys. So I definitely agree with the sentiment of Jeff Block. You just heard talking about this. Student government definitely should not be involved in national, international affairs, or anything political, really. But unfortunately, this assembly did that this year when we got into the topic about divestment from fossil fuel companies. So we created that precedent that this assembly, the assembly 2013-2014 assembly, will talk about national and international affairs. And so because of that, I think that's why it opened this can of worms. And any constituent should be able to come up to us and with resolutions for any kind of that. So that's why I wanted to make sure that they were heard. As you can see from the people that voted, it was probably going to be voted for. And as you can see with the divestment bill, for fossil fuels, there's a good chance that that's not going to happen either, some kind of symbolic thing. So I think it's important that in the future assembly, we don't get into political topics like fossil fuels, Israeli, Palestinian relations, etc. I'd like to end with saying that I'm so happy that Ms. Abso and about a year are going to sit down and try to come together on this topic. You know, I think getting different groups to come together is very important to me, and I hope that the assembly can facilitate that. Thank you, guys.
Is it Abram Kowetsky? Eric Davis, faculty?
Left.
Rudy Gerson.
Hello. So I guess I just echo what she said before me that just because this is voted on by the SA doesn't mean the SA can't play a role in continuing this. And I know that a lot of people left that can't continue this conversation. So clearly, this is not the space to do it. But similar to the breaking silence event that you guys helped coordinate, I do think that the SA played a role in supporting things in a non-reactionary way. And this idea that things are either apolitical or political, and things that are divisive, maybe 50-50, 60-40, are political, while things that are seemingly all agreed upon, like funding undergraduate student groups more or whatever, those are actually also divisive, but maybe 95-5 or 90-10. So this idea that there are political topics and non-political topics is a false binary, similar to the idea that there are two groups that only care about the issues. Problems like this are solved through a continuing process that can be defined and redefined. So this resolution being shut down is not a victory for one side, nor is it a loss for the other, because there are people that support the resolution and do not support the resolution, that do not take the ideological position of either side, because like we've already established, there is not one side or the other. So I would appreciate some more proactive work by you guys in the future that's not simply reactionary, as we've seen this issue be
Thanks. That's time. Thank you. Oh, sorry. Next on the speaker is Representative Bonatti.
There's no one in the community.
Okay.
I don't know if they really need to continue much of our decision, because I'm worried that preventing the community and representing
from having a dialogue about this topic. Many important part of the community is having a dialogue about it, because a much greater issue that we have is a dialogue that we have. And I'm not going to start on this issue, but with regard to what the representative Love said, I disagree that it is a political issue that has nothing to do with Cornell, because similarly, I was mentioned about what we do, the endowment is part of Cornell, it's part of the image that Cornell represents, and that what we do are part of that. This institution was part of that. Using a sweater that we use to sweatshop in Bangladesh is part of that. So I think we have an issue to have a constructive discussion with both sides of the issue, regardless of the time of the season. So it is simply untrue that this institution, like many others, that is developing for the fuel, the sweatshop are completely irrelevant for now.
Under time? What? Point of information.
To me, not the term size anymore. To me, the term of very perspective, a very perspective of size. Really, size.
So there, I'm going to suggest, I can't actually mandate that, I can't ban the word, but with the bang of the gavel, but can we, as requested, please try to refer to perspective as opposed to sides, so that this does seem a bit more like that. That's not directed to you personally. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Did you want to give us a chance?
Yeah.
And then you're next.
So we've extinguished our list of community members who wanted to speak. Is there anyone else in the audience who you missed would like to come forward? Come right up. Just say your name and year for the record.
Oh, she flew.
Hello, my name is Sean Kumar. I'm a freshman in health. I just want to say that the idea of that Cornell may wish to remain neutral on political issues. Is that kind of what Cornell wants to do? That's what I'm hearing. And I'm just thinking, it occurred to me today that neutrality may be achieved by spinning out of investments that perhaps advance violence. So by being invested in companies that profit from violence and arts, we are technically supporting one perspective, to use the term that you asked me. And perhaps by coming out, we support neither perspective. Basically, the investment is a means towards himself, not towards either perspective. When we find neither perspective, neither side, then we can use that.
Yeah, makes sense. Thank you. Next one, this is EVP Ballard.
Hi everyone. To address Representative Alicorn's point, I do agree with Enrico that I think the similarities between this movement and the fossil fuel movement would probably just be the fact that they both have to relate to Cornell's endowment. I think that the topic and the way that this particular resolution brought up so many perspectives would be what maybe separates the two, and we can talk more about that later if you'd like to. But I just wanted to thank all of you for coming out here today, because I think together we can come up with new solutions, and we can figure out how to continue this discussion in a different format. And if you guys have any ideas about how to do that, I know we keep on speaking about it very generally right now. I would appreciate if you could send the Student Assembly hotline, which is just sa@assembly.cornell.edu, ideas of how we can facilitate this conversation in a way that is safe and all perspectives can be heard. Do you want me to repeat that email address? sa@assembly.cornell.edu.
Thanks. It is a hotline. It's always hot. were there any other community members before I move on to another SA member? Yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry. Work it out.
State your name and year for the record, please.
Yes, I'm Mark from the Class 2 of the Engineering. I'd like to see more. I'd like to kind of make a good amount of money to
decision like that, or a decision that my organization is funding, that affects student safety day in their daily life. There are other decisions that don't do so. And I think it is important to make it so complicated block special mission that it's important to be focused on certain uses of the last community, not to make supposedly make a case that really doesn't affect anyone day to day, but supposedly trying to make a waterfall effect to the rest of the main studio university. So that's not the Portland University student assembly role. That would be, you know, we're not the Department of Education. That's not a job. And I would like to support your, to the chair, I'd like to support your decision to make a safety life event. Because while we didn't give a motion, we did not shut out, any perspective. We did open it up, and people could make a decision to what it should be.
And that motion is credited to UT Harris, not myself. But yeah, yeah. But thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Mulledy.
Can I have a question?
Yeah.
So I guess my question here is, I guess the sentence of the community when it's open up communication with open discussion. So having said that, and again, the question is why this phrase? Why not have something individually? Why not have the sample kind of form or something more to do with discussion and then you can access to this if you know if the form is required? Does that make sense?
I think most of the people that wrote the resolution are here. People that voted on the resolution, I think, are not here anymore.
I think what he's trying to convey on behalf of the chair, thank you, is that a question like that about the resolution would probably be best directed to the sponsors of the resolution who actually wrote it. Does that make sense? As in, not only their audience, but also the essay sponsor as well. Does that make sense? Yeah, but if there was anybody in the audience eventually who would like to respond, we can get you on the list. I thought he, don't worry. But if there was anyone who wanted to respond on that, what is my phone doing? On the speaker's list, we can get you on there. Does that make sense? Anybody? No? Okay. Yeah, EE. Did you want to address that?
I can't for a moment.
You can't. Just make it quick. Right before you
during my life, I think that's where it's everyone who knows about discussion and how people come forward to me if they have ideas on how we should move forward to a community, whether it's a community or not. So,
I just want to discuss.
Thank you.
board, if the assembly decides that the determination more apolitical,
that's just going to be more clear to the entire population, let us know what you think of the board and what part of it. Thank you. All right, so since we have about 3 minutes left, I'm just going to kind of conclude this right now. I understand that this was a lot for a lot of people, not only in the community, but on the assembly to take. And I think at the end of the day, my job is to safeguard a process and to safeguard the shared governance system. And unfortunately, there are many people at Cornell who choose not to take part in shared governance. And that's something that we're really working on, is to see a turnout like this, divorcing myself from the content of whatever it was. Seeing the turnout like this is something that is incredible to me, because people actually think this is legitimate. You know, they see the legitimacy of the assembly and the legitimacy in actually getting their voices to another platform and to another place. We have multiple assemblies for all the constituencies here. Sometimes, as Gina can probably attest to back there. You know, we've been directed to try to make sure that we're working a bit more closely with the other assemblies, so with the faculty senate, with the university assembly, with the employee assembly, and with the graduate professional student assembly. So we're trying to do that. Oftentimes, as with the divestment movement, as with the fossil fuels divestment movement, for instance, that movement started here, and the essay, in a sense, was used as a platform to gain momentum for a particular topic. One of the reasons that this subject in particular was entertained was because, like the fossil fuel divestment, it not only talks about the endowment, it's not really the thing, it actually calls into question specific policies that Cornell actually had in place. So we're talking about the divestment of fossil fuels, the climate action plan is in place. That's something that, you know, students, not a bunch of students, were actually involved in crafting and creating, but every decision that goes into how that's implemented impacts us day to day. Whether that's the composting bins or the initiative that Lindsay's working on, all that type of stuff impacts us. So this resolution actually calls into question a code that's under the standards for ethical partnerships and everything like that. And actually, in conveying the fossil fuels thing, I actually think I mentioned that in that thing. So it calls into question that policy. I tried to make sure everybody was distributed. I tried to invite everybody to the UA discussion on Tuesday that actually, in the context of fossil fuels, actually discussed the endowment and divestment and its impact, just so everybody knew what we were talking about and what all of this actually means. So there's a lot of, it's hard to convey accurate information back and forth when everybody's in high emotional gear. And I get that. So that being said, my job again is to safeguard a process and to allow that space for people to say what they want to say. Its standard policy is that everybody has a right to freedom of speech, and everybody has a right to listen and to be heard. And that's what all of the assemblies were created for. You don't know this assembly was created out of strife. This assembly was created because black students protested. That was where this assembly came from. And oftentimes we forget that. But the only reason we exist is because of that. So, I don't know, it feels good. The other thing I want to talk about is dialogue very briefly, now that it's 6:30. The other thing I think that was kind of lost, and I tried to explain this yesterday, and I tried to explain it to women as well, is that oftentimes when you're engaging in dialogue, there's this theory that we have to be neutral, and that neutrality means that you have to do the exact same thing for each perspective. Where's that? For each perspective. And oftentimes that's not how a dialogue works. When you're in the context of there is an overwhelming majority, oftentimes, and then a very small minority, as I think Rudy pointed out, even with student activity fee money, when it's 95% to 5%, there's a dominant dialogue that's taking place. And often the facilitator has to do a little bit more to create a space for the minority group to actually be heard. So if that means, in my perspective, that I get where everybody's coming from, but I'm not going to entertain a motion to table it immediately so that they have a space to at least speak first and get it out, then that's how that happens. So I understand why everybody was upset. I understand everybody feels the process was rushed and things like that. But please don't think things were done in secret or behind anybody's back or done on purpose. That's not what it was. And at the end of the day, we're here as an assembly collectively to do exactly what it is that you guys need us to do. We're here to be your advocates. I would advise all of you assembly members going forward, when you're taking up your approach to ballot initiatives, take the time to actually understand them thoroughly. Your job is to be an advocate for the group. You don't necessarily always have to agree with everything. Part of the United Student Body, the Adam that sponsors with the Adam Bell Doctor, I didn't agree with it. I co-sponsored it to help write it. Juliana might be able to say the same. And we're suffering, not suffering, but we've seen some of the effects of that this year. But they're different things. So you have to advocate on behalf of what's better, what's best for our students. And that's, it's tough to balance sometimes. And I'm telling you, this job right here is not the easiest thing in the world. Last word, and then I'm going to let you, but you've got to go. So, that being said, since we've extinguished all items on the agenda, there's been a motion to adjourn. It's been seconded. Seeing no dissent, the meeting is adjourned at 6:33.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.